This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
This episode is brought to you by Sailee. Sailee eSIM provides internet connection wherever you travel, available in over 200 countries, and it saves you money on roaming fees. Sailee eSIM is secure and you always get 24/7 support. As one of our loyal listeners, you get access to an exclusive 15% off discount on Sailee data plans. So download the Sailee app today and use the code BOLDLYGO at checkout or go to the link in the show notes to get this promotional 15% off offer. This offer is only for a limited time, so don't wait.
What if you could vacation with your entire extended family? We're talking 19 people in four-bedroom suites at beachfront resorts and do it in a more unconventional way. Today, I'm joined by the ultimate mother-daughter travel duo, Joy and Mara, who have figured out how to do exactly that. Mara's been in the vacation game longer than most people have been in the travel game. And Joy? She's the daughter who once rolled her eyes at her mom's travel planning obsession until she realized her mom was actually onto something genius. Even if you never plan to buy a timeshare or a vacation club, this episode is packed with game-changing tips. You'll learn how to score free hotel stays just by attending presentations, how to use vacation clubs strategically without getting scammed, and how these two have saved up to 90% on family travel. If you ever dreamed of luxury travel on a budget or just want more tools in your travel toolkit, this one's for you.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch. Today, I've got a dynamic duo known as the Savvy Travel Mamas, Joy Smith and Mara Rice. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I know that we can unpack a lot of knowledge from the both of you and kind of a combination because, Mara, you've been in the points and miles game longer than probably most of our listeners have been alive. You know a lot. You're an expert. And so you've got some tricks up the sleeve and probably stories that I am super excited to unpack. Now, obviously, we have to modernize all it for today, but I know you've got a lot of stories over the years. And then, of course, Joy, your daughter, is in the game as well, understands it, and you guys have a lot of information to bring us. So before we start unpacking all of the things for today's episode, very simple question I love to ask for both of you is tell us a little bit about yourself. Where do you live? And how did you get started in the world of travel and points and miles?
Go for it, Mom.
Go for it. Okay. Well, I'm originally a Southern Belle, and I ended up marrying a dairy farmer in Southern Illinois, where we met when I came here to teach at a music camp. And then I fell in love, and you know, you end up where he is. So here we are. And I figured I'd be barefoot and pregnant all my ever-loving years right here, you know. But after a few years, I was itching to travel, and we didn't really have the opportunity, the time, nor the money to do it. And so I eventually kind of stumbled into some things and just started researching more and more and wanted to be able to do some things with our family, which we really couldn't afford, and just started finding things here and there that could possibly work for us. Credit card things, that whole thing was just a fluke because I made a lot of mistakes in my early days, which I've learned now that I wish I'd done things differently. But because it's been such a long 25-ish years for me, things have worked out and I'm still doing good. My credit card scores are still up there and we're still traveling. We're still able to do things. And the credit card opportunities never seem to dry up. There's always something that you can get that's going to be beneficial. So here we are all these years later with 11 grandkids and our three kids. And I like to try to plan a trip at least once a year for us all to get together, which is a little challenging, but we generally manage. So that's how I stumbled into it, really.
That's awesome. Started over 25 years ago, which must be tough for a 26-year-old like yourself. But you know what? It's absolutely fantastic.
You're so sweet.
That you've been able to be in this world for so long, if not much longer. Now, Joy, what about yourself? Obviously, you're the daughter, or one of the daughters, I should say. So were you naturally just evolved into seeing what this life was like? And or did you kind of come more into it on your own?
Actually, okay, I was in high school when Mom started to first discover points and miles. Like, and this was the 90s, okay? I'm aging myself now. There wasn't really internet. Google was definitely not around. Internet was dial-up. And Mom spent hours and hours and hours on the phone with American Airlines, Hilton Hotels, some credit card companies. And my brothers and I wanted nothing to do with it. Nothing. For years. Like, we would reap all the benefits of the family vacation. But because we saw it like way back in the day before the age of the internet and just watched her like dedicate her whole life to planning travel, whenever we'd go on vacation, it would like our meals would revolve around the dining program where we could go eat in the dining program to earn more points. And it just was a life where we're like, no, I don't want anything to do with this. But because we traveled when I got older, I did fall in love with hospitality and I started working in hotels and I came up in hotels and vacation rentals. So I also didn't need to learn it because at the time I would get $29 room rate and just would really benefit from being a hotel employee. So then about 3 years ago, life kind of hit us really hard and I had to take a step back from work to be a stay-at-home mom. And then that's when I finally realized, like, crap, I don't know, like, we can't travel anymore because it's not in our budget. I just lost all my income and I no longer work in hospitality. And Mom at the time was going through breast cancer. And it just all became real to me that, like, I can't rely on my mom to make sure that my family gets to take a vacation every year anymore because I don't know what our future is going to hold. And that was kind of a real big turning point for me to be like, okay, what knowledge do I want to gain from my mom while I still can get it from her, right?
Wow.
So what do I want to learn and what do I want her to pass on to me that I don't know already? And instantly it was travel. Because I've always had this love of travel. And so it just was instantly like, okay, I called her up and I said, Mom, I'm ready to learn. Start teaching me. So I just jumped in and she gave me what credit cards to get. And I was so confused. And I remember just like listening to Mom, but then started researching everything on my own too. And then just jumped in feet first. And then I'm like, why are we not teaching this? Like, you have more experience than anybody. So that's the birth of Savvy Travel Mamas.
That is so powerful, like the essence of where that came from to, we'll call it both, you know, dramatic life changes that kind of melded into this opportunity for both of you, one to be able to, Mara, you to be able to teach your daughter, Joy for you to be able to learn, the willingness to learn. I think of the things that I've learned from my mom over the years. It's, you know, my mom being Jamaican, it's how to cook. My mom is also a seamstress, so I'm probably one of the few guys that knows how to work a sewing machine and hand stitch. But to learn travel is really, really cool, right? It's very dynamic, and it's something that is, in essence, an aspect that we can very easily learn from our parents, the good and bad of when we are exposed to travel early. So I think that's absolutely incredible. Now, as we've been focusing on being able to deep dive, and I love understanding what are the specialties and the niches that individuals and creators like yourself have in the points and miles space, I know when we're talking offline, you guys have an expertise in Hilton and specifically Hilton Vacation Clubs. And on your site, it says you can save people up to 90% on their travel expenses. Now, I know obviously points and miles are a lot of that, and we could get into all the things, the Chase cards, the Amex cards, all these different things, but I'd love to really hone in today on something that we haven't covered in our show before, which is a vacation club and how can you use that to help revolutionize someone's travel or a family's travel. And then I also know that we were both in Jamaica around the same time, and you just happened to be at one of the top Hilton all-inclusives in the world, which I didn't know was in Jamaica. So we're going to do a little compare and contrast today as well on the resorts that we stayed at while in Jamaica, the same part of Jamaica of all places also. So let's just first start and talk through the vacation club side, because I know that's an area that you guys have an expertise. And I'm just going to make it very simple because I want to know. What is a vacation club and how does it differ from a timeshare?
A typical timeshare is one that you can purchase a week and you have to have that same week in that same resort every single year. And typically when you get into the vacation clubs, it gives you an opportunity to change, to interchange and to move to different locations with different clubs, different vacation clubs within that brand name. Nowadays, they've branched out a little bit more to encompass other things, but that's what it basically was with us. And I remember my husband had started traveling for a national organization, and he was able to stay in some really nice hotels with his expenses paid. And that's when I realized he was accumulating points and, hey, I want to make this work for us, you know. And one of the things we had gotten was a promotion thing from a Hilton Grand Vacation. You come out to Las Vegas, you stay 3 days, 2 nights, you listen to our promo and your room is paid for. So I was all about that because I had never, you know, done anything like that. And of course you go in there with that typical thing of we are not going to buy. There is no way we're going to buy, which was fine with me because I wasn't even interested in it. But by the time we got through listening to that presentation, and my heart began to swell with all of my children and grandchildren and thinking that we could actually do vacations this way because otherwise we weren't, that I might be able to have a new world for them to be able to travel, incorporate that. And my husband tells it, he says, when we got to the end of the vacation, she sat there and she said, I want this and there's no compromise. And so that's kind of what my husband says. And I guess I really did it. Anyway, we had the money at that particular time for that piece that we bought. Otherwise, we would have never gone into debt for it, or we would have never done it. But we paid, we did it, and we put it on credit cards, and then we turned around and we paid those off. So we earned points in that process, which was great. And that was kind of our first intro into it. And I remember the next year we took the kids to one of the Hilton resorts where we had bought in Tuscany or in SeaWorld down in Orlando. And we sat there at Thanksgiving. We were all sitting around the table. And one of the daughter-in-law at the time, she said, I've never had a Thanksgiving dinner in my bathing suit before. And it was like, oh, wow, this is a whole new world for us. And we have just been able to plan those family vacations and do some wonderful things because the quality of Hilton is always the same quality. And we know that we're confident there. I don't know if that makes any sense, but we really like them and we're really happy with them. We've done some other kinds of promotions with other hotels, chains and stuff, but they've never been the same caliber as Hilton. And they've always been not as respectful in so many ways when they're doing the presentations. Some of them are just hard-nosed and you just want to get up and punch them in the face, you know? But Hilton people have always been consistent, consistently nice. They know when you're ready to say no, and they don't just keep on egging you on past your breaking point. So we like it because Hilton is also in RCI, which gives us an opportunity to exchange our points if we want to, with the flexibility of a few days or a week or whatever we have into different places around the world. And we've been able to spend a vacation within a vacation in Italy at a little place. When we were in Italy for a month, then we went on vacation within Italy for a month at an island. So it's just opened up a world of travel to us and to our family that had we not been forced to use those points or lose them every year, we would never have done the extent of traveling that we have. So yeah, it's been fun.
That's perfect. And so I'm curious, I feel like someone listening to this, very first thing, mental shut off, timeshare vacation club presentation. Okay, yes, you made it sound great. The hard sell isn't as hard. It's Hilton is consistent. It is a brand that you know of. There's a lot of good in the things you said, but so many people, myself included, I will admit, would be like timeshare. No, 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 no. What are the things when someone tells you, like, did you really are suggesting a timeshare? What are the things that, and either of you could answer this, that tell you, yes, it can be worth it if done right? I think those last three words, if done right, is always the key with everything, right? As a financial advisor, there are tools out there that can be detrimental or fantastic to someone's financial plan when done right. So what are the things that you would tell someone when it comes to, if they were very closed-minded or closed off to the thought of a vacation club or a timeshare or something similar?
Okay. First of all, let me say this was before I got into the points and miles thing. And if I were doing it today, knowing all the information that I know about points and miles, I never would have bought the timeshare.
Really?
Because we've made so much difference with that. However, because we bought the timeshare, and because we value it, we tend to do things like bigger vacation things. So we'll use our vacation club points. For example, what we did one year was we went to Hawaii. We told the kids one year, well, we're not doing Christmas gifts this year, but we will be going to Hawaii. So don't buy gifts. And I booked our trips and I used my points and miles through the credit card offers that we had. And I booked airfare for us all. We all started from three different airports with three different families going at different times. And then we met on different airlines. Some were Delta, some were American, some were United. And then we met up, I think it was like somewhere around Las Vegas. And we actually all arrived into Hawaii within 30 minutes of each other. It took me about a year, honestly, to get all of the planning for it done and to find the availability for us to use our timeshare in Hawaii. At that time, it was kind of tricky, but then we didn't have enough points for everyone. So then I had to use hotel points to be able to get near the same location for us and just fit it all together. So it worked. So that's kind of what I try to do, to use our points and miles. If we need to have a pickup hotel somewhere along the way, or different places for it to be, but to really use those points and miles for the travel aspects of it.
So Joy, it sounds like it's a little bit of a surprise there on the comment about would be doing it differently had she had known about the points and miles world to the extent that she did. So I'm curious, thoughts there, Joy? This feels like late break, like breaking news right now.
I know, I'm shocked. Can you tell? Mom, I guess all of our family vacations have centered around going to a Hilton Grand Vacation Club, and there's 19 of us, right? Like, we've grown throughout the years. But in my head, I'm just trying to imagine what our vacations would have looked like without having the space of like a 4-bedroom suite or a 3-bedroom villa or like multiple 3- or 2-bedroom villas, and having that kitchen and the extra bathrooms and the living room area. And I don't think that our family relationship would be what it is if we never had that, because being able to go on these vacations and be in like that space together, like the first one, when we did Thanksgiving, we would have never been able to have Thanksgiving and spread out between 5 hotel rooms. Like,
it's true.
When you have that vacation club, you can go in there and you have the kitchen space. And we did it again just last year. We had Thanksgiving in Orlando in a vacation club. But it just makes such a difference to give us like time together too. And it's not a crowded hotel. It's not everyone hiding out in their hotel room. It's literally like the grandkids all sleeping together and building those bonds and having fun, and us just being like in an apartment basically together versus being in private cut off hotel rooms. So yeah, I'm shocked you said that.
Well, I have no regrets at all. And that's how we've made it work. But I'm just saying, because of the expense of it, we've done so much with our points and miles and so many vacations. But when it comes to our entire family doing them, I can't imagine that we could have, with this many of us traveling, 19, there's no way we could have done it. And it's like you said, I'm grateful we have the big, you know, the suites with the big kitchens and the big tables. And it's amazing to be able to have all your kids around, knowing that you probably wouldn't even be vacationing had you not gotten into this world.
And I think that's super impactful to clarify, because clearly I think there's a family dynamic or element to the decision-making process. Because for perhaps someone like myself and my fiance, Taryn, does this necessarily make sense? Possibly, but probably not. But when you've got 20 people and an expanding family and generations of intertwining relationships and friendships and familial ships as a whole, having the space to be able to do that, that's not a $15,000 for the week Airbnb, is huge. And so I absolutely can understand that. I love how you said, right, there were no regrets to doing it, because the value that it's brought you and your family as a whole, enjoy saying, I don't even see how our family would travel like they have been without something like this, can be huge. So I think it is all perspective based. The person that's listening, that is the solo traveler or the couples travel, maybe this isn't the right fit. But that person, that Mara, like you, when you went to the presentation, you just had this vision of like, wow, I can do this for my family. That changed the game completely. So moving forward from there, are there other ways that you can think of outside of just the travel piece or the airfare piece, I should say specifically, of where you can combine vacation clubs with points and miles? Now, obviously, I think you mentioned that you could, when you actually buy it, you could put it on a card and that can, of course, give you a boatload of points, sign up bonus, all the things. But outside of those two areas, any other opportunities for earning points and miles or combining points and miles on the vacation club side of things?
When we go to eat, we'll have like a family night out, go to a restaurant, you know, that's in hopefully in the dining club program, that we can earn tons of points and miles on it there. Or when we do an experience like going to one of the, you know, a pirate show or something like that, you know, you try to capture that for doing your points and miles too. But whether it's experiences or whatever, we just try to work it all in together. But they will typically, at least Hilton does, they give you an opportunity to do the promos periodically with them. And they're just a, like an owner's update. And they give you a shorter amount of time that you get to be there. You get to just interact with questions. So it's really to your advantage. And then they give you a boatload of Hilton Honors points for doing that. They make the same offer to your children. Now, our kids typically don't even want to mess with it. So if they did, we tell them definitely don't buy, but you could certainly go and listen and earn a bunch of, you know, Hilton Honors points, which they rarely do. But other than that, we're just grateful to have the opportunity to do it.
Awesome. So someone has just became a new vacation or Grand Vacation Club owner. What are some of the common mistakes that you see people make early on in their ownership, or some of the mistakes that you guys have made that you've been able to adapt or learn around or move around to make this style of travel for you and your family more enjoyable and with less mistakes?
You have to understand whatever program you're in, whether it's Hilton or whatever club it is. If you don't understand your program and the way your program works and how to redeem your or how to trade out your weeks and all of those for maximum value, then it's on you and you're not getting the maximum benefit for it. I feel like we have several times I've been told by Hilton people, we need you working for us because you seem to know more than we do sometimes. But I've seen people buy into whatever club it is and they turn around and they say, it's pointless, it's useless, I'm not getting my money, I want my money back, and I'm stuck in this timeshare. That's true if you don't understand what you've got. It's like you buy a car and you don't know how to operate it. So what good is it? And that's exactly the analysis that I think it is, that you just have to understand whatever it is that you're in to redeem your points or trade in your weeks for maximum value to make it work for you.
Hey everyone, I hope you're enjoying this week's episode. DeAndre here, and I just wanted to interrupt briefly to remind you of two things. First, be sure to sign up for our newsletter where we give you direct access to travel updates, news you'll want to jump on in the points and miles world, and our continuously updated card offers to maximize your travel rewards, often before they're ever mentioned in the show. Also, if you didn't already know, we have a private Facebook group where we share news as it breaks, ideas, and other things that don't make it into the newsletter or show many times, and that's the best place to get your points and miles question answered directly by me and other travel enthusiasts. Both of these links will be in the show notes. Now, back to the show. So as the financial advisor, right, I'm always trying to talk through financial responsibility, and I don't get to put the financial advisor hat on too often in this show. And you don't have to reveal how much you pay for the timeshare unless you want to. But my question is how do you make the numbers work, right? I know you threw things out there like a 4-bedroom suite versus 5 hotel rooms, those type of things. When it comes time to actually use these properties, what are we paying out of actual pocket? Because there is still a cash component or maintenance fees, or there's expenses wrapped around to this. So how does this actually work to where, from a travel and an efficiency and a fiscal responsibility standpoint, you're finding that it is a benefit outside of just, hey, we get to have 20 people in a family feeling good all together?
Right. We bought in 2002. We bought a 3-bedroom and it was around $17,000. You couldn't touch that price today, especially for what they call the prime time in the most popular vacation times. And that's what we bought. You couldn't touch it today. And we do have to pay maintenance fees every year. They gradually climb, and so they are getting more and more expensive. But you know what? We still pay them because we still end up with benefits from them, and we still know that we've got it, and we want the clubs that we have, we want them taken care of, we want them maintained. If they're damaged by hurricanes or whatever, we want that fixed. And so it's a piece of our property that we're responsible for that week, so we pay our fees absolutely for that reason, and we understand that. Whenever you do anything, purchasing one, you should, whether you're purchasing a timeshare or a car, whatever you're doing, we've done plenty of cars that way too. We try to make sure that we have the money up front in some format that we can use a credit card to pay for it. And then we can turn around after getting all the credit card perks on it and all earning all those points and miles, then you pay that off so that you're not ending up paying interest in any way for it. And that's how we've made it work. Even when we're paying our maintenance fees and those things, we sure try to use the credit card, whether it's the Hilton or whether it's a new card that we've just gotten with the big sign-on bonus for it. You know, we're going to use the credit card that is going to give us the most points for that particular time that we need to pay those maintenance fees, whatever we're doing. So we just continue to earn more every year when we're paying our maintenance fees. We're earning a lot more points, whether it's Hilton or whether it's Chase Ultimate Rewards, American Express points, whatever it is, we're continually using it that way. I don't know if that really answers your question.
No, it does. I think the only thing else I would ask is, so when you do go to actually use your timeshare, is there an expense for that week outside of the maintenance fee you paid for the year? Your club, sorry, I should just say your vacation club.
No, because when you pay for that, you've got your points up and you pay for it. Now with Hilton, we could use the points that we have for that year, and we can borrow the points from up to a year later. So when we do really big vacations with them, we actually have 2 Hilton properties. And we will actually use them, the points of the year we're in and the points from the year ahead of that, so that we combine them all to be able to have enough to do those three or four bedrooms or two or three two bedrooms or whatever is available at that time. We do that. And I plan way out ahead of time to make sure that we can get the enough bedrooms and enough accommodations for us. We've done like four bedrooms at a trading through RCI at a property in Branson one year that was absolutely fantastic. And then we've done like the penthouses in Hawaii, like I said before, that didn't sleep everyone, but we got hotel rooms enough that were right there on the same property to make up for it. So it's a matter of planning ahead, and it's tricky sometimes, but it definitely works.
That's awesome. So Joy, what's been your experience when it comes to the grand vacations? Do you also own one as well, or is it part of like the familial use? I'm very curious, what's been your experience on the vacation, grand vacation side of things? Because obviously I'm sure there's been the opportunity to see the presentation, get the rewards. I know that last time Taryn and I were in Vegas last year for EDC Vegas, we were randomly stopped by someone. We had some time. We're like, you know what? We're going to go to the timeshare presentation. We went. It was for Hilton Grand Vacations. We did all the saying no, no, no. And they're like, but do you really get to travel and all that? I'm like, I've got a travel podcast. And they literally were like, okay, yeah, you can go now. You know, here's your freebies, right? So it was a very easy way to end it. Actually, that was Taryn's idea 100%, because I started explaining all the things, like we use points and miles and do that. And Taryn's like, we have a travel podcast. That's all, like we travel a lot. So I say that to say, Joy, what's been your experience when it comes to the Hilton Grand Vacations? Is that the same brand that you utilize? Do you use a different one? So I'd love to hear more.
So I actually personally don't own a vacation club. I just take advantage of my parents. I'm not afraid to say that. Mom has allowed, we stay as a family in them often as a big family. You know, once a year we do take a huge family vacation. But my husband and I have taken a couple like smaller family vacations on our own. And most recently, we just got back from Vegas a couple days ago, where mom gifted us her two-night stay at an IHG vacation club, because they sat through, that was like their gift from going through a prior promo. And we did sit through our first vacation club promo, which after talking about it, it will be the first of many, because it's just a great way to get like extra freebies. And, you know, as a points a mile person, like I don't want to spend money when I travel. And if I can get a 3-night or a 2-night stay for free and give you 2 hours of my time, I'm just going to plan it in and go do it. So we plan on sitting through a lot more presentations. As for purchasing, I don't think I'm going to purchase, because they are, the way the vacation rentals work, you can will them down to your children. So I have already taken bids on getting a vacation rental for my mom and dad.
I love the estate planning element here in this. Okay, perfect, perfect. So I'm curious, Joy, what would be your advice for someone? Because again, we went through this ourselves. We had time to kill. We were in Vegas. It was very hot. We got to go in the shade. Again, we had to burn about 90 minutes to 2 hours. But outside of Mara's advice of, you know, don't buy if you're not going to buy, or in this case, you bought, Mara, so you didn't follow your own advice. But Joy, what would you want to tell someone to let them know so they could understand the value they can get out of going to these presentations, but how not to get caught?
So I made a rookie mistake at this last presentation, and it was IHG. So they were a little bit more aggressive than, as mom said, Hilton is. So mom and I didn't really get a chance to talk about how I should handle the presentation, right? Like, because the catch to it is like, because they gave us a free room, right? So if we didn't do the presentation, we didn't give them our full 2 hours of time, we would have then had to turn around and pay for the room that we stayed in. Which to me, like, I draw my line. I will not pay for hotel rooms. So I had this conversation with mom, and we didn't get to really talk in depth because they showed up like a couple hours before we had to leave for the airport, and we were like trying to get kids' schedule all situated, and I forgot to call mom the next morning to ask her how to do it. So in my mind, I'm like, well, crap. Talk to my husband, and I'm like, Justin, I think we have to act like we're a little interested and then just tell him no at the very end. Right? So I'm sitting here and the guy is trying to pitch me, and I'm like, dude, you don't need to sell me on the value of vacation rentals. Like, I understand the value of a vacation rental. I've been staying in them since I was 20 years old. And I get the value of them. Like, they've changed the life of my family because we've been able to vacation together. And so I gave him a glimmer of hope, which was my first mistake.
Oh, man.
Because I thought if I walk in and I say, look, we're not going to buy, we're just here for the freebies, I thought they were going to be like, oh, then no, that doesn't work. I find out afterwards, you should always walk in from the very beginning and say, look, I'm here for the freebies, I'm not going to buy, let's just get through this, I'll hear what you have to say and be nice about it. Well, let's just say my 2-hour timeshare presentation turned into 3.5 hours because we couldn't leave. It was like going to a bad car salesman where they take your keys and trap you there.
Ouch.
It was a little painful, and we learned a lot of lessons, but now we know what not to do, and I will absolutely do them again. And honestly, if you want to go to Vegas and experience it, I think that's like a really great way to keep going back to Vegas. I mean, they literally stop you everywhere. We were stopped so many times, and had we had the time in our schedule, I would have sat through another presentation because they were giving away like a $200 dining certificate, $100 to gamble, and 3 free nights in the future. And like the packages they were giving away in Vegas were insane. And I'm not a gambler. And I'm like, well, heck, I'll take $100. Let me just go gamble a couple times and then cash out, you know? So there's so much you can gain if you know how to do it. And now that I've done it the wrong way, I'm ready to try again for the right way.
100%. Go ahead, Mara.
So here's the deal. It's okay to say, no, actually, I'm just here for the free nights or for the $300 or whatever you're going to give me. We actually sat through one in Mexico years ago and walked out with $700. But I will tell you this, we were ready to punch because they just wouldn't let you go. And it was like, you know, 3, 4, 5 hours, and you're on a property that they had to bus you out to because it's being built and you can't just get up and walk away. All total, when you walk away with that much money, it's worth it, I guess, you know. Typically, when you go into one, they know it, whether you say it or not. They know you're there for the freebies. They know that. So it's okay to just to be honest with them. No, we're here for the freebies and that's it. We're not buying. Now, I have a tendency to just close my mind off and to think about anything but that. I'll be planning my next vacation in my mind, you know, while they're rattling on about, you know, all the figures of this and that and the other and that and that and the other. And so if you just keep saying, no, thank you, no, thank you, thanks, but no, you know, sometimes they will turn and they will start talking about something totally different. And then you just sit there and have to bide your time because they are required to give you that amount of time and they have to do it or they don't get paid. So you just sit there and shoot the breeze about, you know, till your hour and a half is up. We have even been in foreign countries to one, and literally the guy met us at a coffee shop and he said, look, I know you're not going to buy, but I have to meet with you. Sit down, let's have a cup of coffee. I mean, we were out of there within like 10 minutes. And it was crazy. And then we got the free nights that we were, and that was in a foreign country. We got the free nights, the 3-day, 2 free nights, had a cup of coffee, had a pleasant conversation, and just goodbye. Typically, if you will go into that conversation here in the U.S., at least anyway, with that in mind, that if you're absolutely not going to buy, then close off your mind so that you don't get caught up in that process. And keep saying, no, thanks. It's just not going to work. We're not interested. They will eventually turn you over to someone else who will come in and try to make a sale to you as well. And then you just say, no, thank you. And just know that before you walk out that door, they're going to shoot one last thing at you. And that one last thing might be that they will give you like a week's vacation in one of their properties for whatever country it's in, or whether it's in the U.S., for like $1,500 for a week in a 2-bedroom. And that is worth it right there, to be able to walk into one of those properties and to be able to go for a week in a 2-bedroom for that amount of money when it's a classy place. And if you pay up front with it, put it on your credit card immediately, they're going to knock another $100 or $200 off. So it becomes worth it to do it.
So there are elements, as I'm hearing, where it can make sense, especially once you get through the bird dog and the chase and they bring in the next manager and the sales manager and the guy's going to make you the deal that you can't refuse and all the different levels, all of that through, and I've sat through those before. A couple things I want to point out. A, for Joy, when you talk about the in Vegas, I think you're absolutely right. There's a lot of opportunity. They're on the streets. They're offering. You can elevate your opportunity because, you know, both Taryn and myself have a sales background, right? The person that's trying to get you to go in, they're getting paid just to get your butt in the seat. You can keep negotiating with them on the streets in Vegas to get more and more and more and more before you even walk into the timeshare presentation. And that's what we ended up doing. We got the dining certificate, which we thought was going to be to some place not great. It was actually a really nice Brazilian restaurant. We got comedy tickets. We got a bunch of different things that were actually of good value. The one thing that I will say in Vegas is not worth what it sounds is the $100 gambling certificate, because I don't know if you actually went to it, Joy. It's at a very specific casino that's old, and the machines that are there for gambling specifically with the certificate are not the same machines that you actually would gamble with in a casino usually. They're super outdated.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're super outdated, and you basically have to win $200 before you can cash out that certificate that you got $100 with. So just call that a wash. It is literally not worthwhile. I was determined. I sat there for like 30 minutes punching the numbers. I actually like would win some, then lose some like you do in the casino. Never actually lost any. And it was just so much time that I was like, this is really not worth my time to keep sitting here trying to get an extra $100. So you have to like win 200 before they will let you cash it out. So that is the one thing that I would not add. You know, someone's like, oh, we'll throw in a $200 gambling certificate in Vegas for the listeners. Not worthwhile at all. So I just want to throw that out there.
We got stopped. We were going to the top of the Strat, right? So we did the IHG presentation because that was part of our deal for getting the two free nights there. And then as we were walking through the Strat to go to the top of it, that's when we got stopped. And they started offering all this stuff. This is another newbie mistake. So we're like, okay, we'll sign up for the presentation for Strat, because the guy's like, you can be out of there an hour. I promise it's only an hour. And we should have probably known better based on what Mom's told me. It's always like 90 minutes or 2 hours. It's never an hour. Well, this dude promised us an hour. So it was at a place that was like 3.5 miles off the strip. So it was a $20 Uber ride to get there. And we show up and the lady's like, okay, you're here for 2 hours, right? You have 2 hours. And we're like, no, we were told it's an hour and I don't have 2 hours to stay because we already have like dinner and show plans tonight. But that's why we never got. We ended up leaving and they did give us enough to cover our Uber rides back and forth because they're like, I'm so sorry, it was a miscommunication. So that's like another piece you need to watch for and like learn from a newbie mistake is that sometimes the people trying to get you to go do the presentations are going to say whatever they need to say to get you to actually go. But we went back and looked and there was a paper that we had to like initial on and everything. And it said 2 hours on it. And we're like, crap, we should have really read that. We just kept hearing 1 hour in our head. So we never did get the $200 dining or the gambling gift certificate or anything. Oh, well, whatever, right? We got our money back for our Uber and that's what we really mattered at that point. But now we know for future. Next time we go back, we just learned some lessons. And you think I would have known better from my mom, who's like the queen of it. And sometimes with kids, we just don't listen to our parents when we should.
I can completely understand that. And I've got one last tidbit on the Vegas side. Well, this is actually in general. So especially in the US, if they ever do tell you, hey, you only need to commit or guarantee whatever it is, 90 minutes, 2 hours, whatever it is, you confirm with them, hey, so before I sit my butt down, I've got 2 hours on the clock, 90 minutes on the clock, whatever it is. And they're like, yep. You say you agree to that. Yes. You literally can, when the clock hits 2 hours, say, hey, I'm still sitting here. It's in 201, actually. I'm at my end of the deal. You guys are still trying to sell me. At this point, I don't trust that you are going to continue to honor your obligations. So I want to end this right now. And there's very few things that they can actually do at that point to continue pushing the envelope. But most people don't know to actually say that. I'm not an attorney, by the way, so this is not legal advice. But that is one of the things that you can do. Thankfully, with our opportunity, as they tried to bring in the other people, when I was like, we have a travel podcast, they were like, yeah, they'll just save us all the time to not keep trying this. And they pushed and it moved on. So also, listeners, just say you have a travel podcast. Just be like, yeah, they don't have to know. Just say you have a travel podcast. that could also work for you. Use it. You have a podcast. What is it? Revolutionizing Your Journey. Have them look it up. Just tell them your name's DeAndre. Don't pretend to be me, but you know what I mean. So anyway, so ladies, for the sake of time, I want to transition a little bit. This was super helpful. Talk about vacation club rentals. So let's pivot a little bit before we wrap up. Hilton Rose Hall versus the Hyatt Ziva / Zilara Rose Hall. Someone told me that the Hilton Rose Hall is one of the top, if not maybe number two, Hilton all-inclusive in the world. So I'd love to hear about it. And was this done through the Hilton Grand Vacations or just done through a regular world of points and miles and accumulating Hilton points?
Totally Hilton points. But because we are Hilton Grand Vacation Club members, that puts us into gold category. So we get the upgrades. And so my husband and I have stayed there before. So I've stayed there two times now. And we've gotten the upgrades, but we're diamond now because of the credit card that we have. That gives you the upgrades, but we stayed on points this time. And both times we actually stayed on points.
Very nice. So I love your take. How was the resort? What were the things? Did it live up to the hype of being one of the top in the world?
I liked it enough to go back a second time. That's why I wanted to take Joy and the kids there, because it's a really nice family resort. It's beautiful.
As a hotelier, right? Like, I live in Nashville and I've worked in some of the nicest hotels. Well, there's a lot newer hotels now, right? But I've worked in like the nice Hilton downtown. I've worked in some really nice luxury properties. So in my mind, I was kind of thinking, I haven't stayed in an all-inclusive since I was in college. And let's just be real, in college, when you go to an all-inclusive, you're not getting any type of quality. So my like all-inclusive expectation was completely off. So when we first got there, and we had reached out to them beforehand, they upgraded us to a room with a view. The room was just a standard hotel room, right? Like, in my mind, I guess I don't know what I was really expecting. But if you Google top Hilton all-inclusives in the world, depending on what list it is, whether it's Travel and Leisure or whatever, like, it's going to be in the top three in every list that you look at. This hotel is going to be in the top three for all-inclusives. And the lobby was a really great welcoming experience. It was like the service was amazing. They greet you with a cold towel. They greet you with a drink. Like, because mom's diamond, we got to go off to the diamond desk to do a separate check-in. And the arrival experience was amazing. Then we get up to our room and I'm like, oh, it's just a standard hotel room. I don't know what I was expecting, but it was just a standard hotel room. Like, it wasn't anything super fancy. It wasn't anything like amazing. It didn't have like the highest quality finishes. So at first I was a little underwhelmed. And then the more that we were there and started walking around and experiencing the property as a guest, like the water park, the restaurants, just the kids club, like being able to drop my kids off. And it just grew on me a lot. Like, the fact that my kids like developed a love of strawberry daiquiris and pina coladas and got to drink all they wanted.
Virgin.
Virgin one, yes, of course. And then just like we did probably a million laps in their lazy river and having the beach right there. And just, it was really just such a great experience to be at an all-inclusive with my kids for the first time and being able to drop them off at the kids club for a few hours. Like, my daughter, literally, I had parents walking up to me like, are you Janelle's grown-up? Because she met my son and she just walked up to him. And so it was like she made friends from all over the world there, you know, and it was just so cool to experience an all-inclusive in a different country with my kids for the first time. I can definitely see why it has a top rating on it, just because the staff there were amazing, the service was amazing, and just the overall like feeling and vibe of the hotel, you just really felt very warm and welcome and wanted.
Awesome. That's fantastic. I would say our experience, honestly, at the Hyatt Zilara, the adults only side, was very similar, although it's connected to the Ziva. So it was a really cool resort because it's all connected. In fact, one of the buildings for the Zilara actually overlooks into the pool for the Ziva. So it's that close. Some of the restaurants you can go to, and you can go anywhere on the property. If you're an adult, you can go essentially anywhere. I found that to be a very similar experience. And one thing I will say, and this is very interesting, comparing kind of the Hilton Diamond versus Hyatt Globalist. And of course, it is all based on room availability at the same time. When we checked in, the room that we had on this Hyatt Zilara, and this was back from, I think this was episode 65, our episode where we talked through our stay there. But that first room we had the first night was very much so a standard hotel room in an older wing of the building. And now granted, we booked on points as well. So we booked our stay completely on points, but then they upgraded us because they didn't have a room ready for upgrade the first day, but they had it for the rest of our days there. And that was to a suite that was, the marble was different. The lights, it was so much brighter. There was a stone tub in the room. So it was fantastically different from that experience. And so I'm curious, from the Hilton standpoint, again, there's a whole availability conversation there also, but there's, I say, a reason why everyone goes after the Hyatt Globalist status for the benefits. But I'm very curious as to how the resort compares. Now, obviously, I haven't been to both, but I would say the staff, the friendliness, the kids club, we don't have kids. We were there for a wedding. A lot of the parents that were there with kids were like, they're dropping their kids off and picking them back up at 5, and the kids didn't even want to see them, yeah, because they're having so much fun. So it seemed like a really great experience. And maybe it's just in that Rose Hall, Montego Bay part of Jamaica. It's just, hey, we have to deliver on quality no matter what it is.
When my husband and I had stayed there the time before that, and it was just the two of us, we were upgraded to a private room that walked right out onto the place and onto the beach. And the room was much bigger and much nicer and much classier. And that was with that, you know, with the diamond, the room that was available. So we were given that upgrade, and it just had a classier feel to it than the standard room for four. But it's like you said, availability is the key to it. And the resort was full when Joy, when we were there with her kids, the resort was packed and sold out for months at a time at that time. So
got it.
That made a difference. And the different restaurants that we could choose from to go to were all very nice. And the food was very good everywhere.
Chicken nuggets were chicken nuggets.
Got it. Now I question, did they have a jerk chicken and beef patty shack that was open till 3 a.m. every single day?
Ooh, they had a jerk chicken shack. It was not open till 3. You know what, Mom? We didn't have beef patties while we were there. We kind of revolved around the kids.
At the beach, we had the hamburgers and the hot dog things.
They did. But we didn't eat a Jamaican patty. We just got a hamburger.
You went to Jamaica and you didn't have a Jamaican patty.
No, we had Jamaican chicken down at the shack on the beach on the other end.
Yeah, we did have the jerk chicken.
We did. It was good. Different levels of sauces, different varieties. It was good.
We had my kids, so our restaurant options weren't like going to all the... We did do one like really fancy restaurant where they take you offsite and you go to the golf course, and it was really good. But outside of that, like, we stayed at the Easy Shacks. We did room service one night because my kids were like, I'm just going to eat chicken nuggets anyway, so...
Understood. Well, I get where the food and the dining options have to revolve around the kids. So it sounds like you guys had a fantastic time, though, and were able to experience a really great resort, which is awesome. So ladies, before we wrap this one up, as we think through mindset, family, travel, it's very easy for someone who may be a newer listener to this show or newer to Points and Miles just say, wow, they just threw a whole different dynamic at me. You know, we didn't even go down the rabbit hole of the points and miles world and credit cards to use and all those different things with this episode today. We went a whole different angle with presentations and vacation clubs and timeshares. For parents and families that want to travel, but they're feeling overwhelmed by all the options out there, what would be the advice that you would give them as far as where to start?
Start small. If you're going to start, don't feel like you have to jump into everything all at once, right? Like, as I said, I haven't been doing this very many years. I am still building my credit cards. I don't have all the amazing credit cards that everybody talks about because it takes time to build them. You're on a journey. You just get one card at a time. You learn everything you can about that one card. You figure out how to use your points. Like what I did the first year is I leveraged my points because my husband doesn't get very much time off. Is I took the kids to go visit my in-laws who live halfway across the country that we don't get to see very often, right? Like my son's best friend moved away to Charleston. So we went on a family trip to Charleston to go visit them. So like I really leveraged visiting because I'm still building my points. I really leveraged visiting those friends and family that we don't get to see very often to where I could just use my points on airlines and not have to worry about draining them all with an airline and a hotel while I build. Now we're going overseas in June this summer. So that'll be our first really big trip. We're going to go to London and Scotland and Dublin, but it's taken me time to build up to be able to get enough points and to really be able to do that with my family. So just start small. And then if you have a family member that wants to do it with you, like your mom or somebody, like I leverage mom a lot too. And we take trips together and I use her points a lot more because she has a lot more than me. So we combine, but she's going to be my companion and use my companion pass. So it's okay.
Very cool. Myra, any advice that you have yourself?
I think she's right. Just starting small and just doing what you can along the way. And don't freak out if you make a mistake, because we're going to make mistakes along the way and we're not going to get the best value for everything. I will say this, just jumping back into that Hawaii trip I talked about when I took 14 of us years ago, the value of that trip, and now I'm not including our Hilton timeshare stuff at all, okay? This is the value of the flights we took and the extra hotel rooms that we had to buy that we did on points and miles, okay? The value of those things in that trip for a week for 14 people, the value of that was $33,222. That was like 10 years ago, okay? What it actually cost us was a little over $2,500.
Amazing.
Now it's all relative, but that's what it was back then and the savings that we did just by doing that little by little, but it took a lot of planning to get the best of the best.
That's amazing. It shows the value and obviously the memories that were created from that trip as well. I'm sure everyone still remembers it, moments from that trip, and there's been many more since then. Myra, Joy, this has been awesome. Where can the listeners follow you ladies?
For sure. We are on Instagram as Savvy Travel Mamas, and that is M-A-M-A-S. We do have a course. It's a very beginner level intro to points and miles course. So that you can find that through our Linktree site on our Instagram page, how to sign up on our waitlist. We just launched it in January and we are going to be putting it out pretty soon here. I'm hoping in the next month or two to be available at all times. So someone can just sign up and take our course. And we give a lot of moms tips and tricks that she has learned throughout the years in our course. And we just try to, make it very beginner friendly so it's not as overwhelming, because I think points and miles can get so overwhelming so fast. And we just really want to break it down.
Perfect. Last two questions I always like to ask. The first, you guys have been a wealth of knowledge, especially deep diving into this realm of vacation clubs and what to do or not do with them. Who else should we have on the show that you think would be a value add to have? And I forgot to mention for the listeners, Joy, we met at Travel More last year, which is where we connected and said, hey, it would be great to have you come on the show. So I'm glad we got to reconnect again since then. But who else should we have on the show that you think would add a lot of value for our listeners?
Oh, gosh. I need to go back who all you've had on your show. And look, that is a question I should have prepared for better. I'm so sorry.
So you can throw someone out there. I'll just say if they've been on there or not.
I was going to say like Allie, because I love her AA knowledge, but I know you just had her on there and like she really opened my eyes to AA and mom really loved that one. Someone who's been in this business for so long even learned from Allie about AA pieces. Have you had like Joe and Mary Ellen from Wonderland on points yet?
I have.
You did them in the beginning?
Yeah, early on, I was on their show. They were on mine, but they're fantastic as well. So no worries at all. I'll hit you off offline. We'll see if there's someone comes to mind that we can connect with and have on a future show as well.
I should have done my homework. I'm sorry. We probably know all the same people, but you've probably already had majority of them.
No worries. It's all good. So ladies, any final thoughts before we wrap this one up?
It's been fun. Thank you for having us.
Oh, I know. Have you had Betsy from Alaska?
Yeah, I've had her Alaska travels. That was another great episode, deep diving on all the things. Travel with Alaska Airlines, super knowledgeable and expert and someone that's actually grew up, Alaskan. That was a fantastic episode as well.
Seriously, I got to go through your whole list.
No worries. Any last thoughts you have, Joy?
I mean, thank you for having us. This has been great. And I wish you the best. I'll miss you this year at Travel More Con, but you're getting married. So it's going to be amazing to see those pictures and follow your journey.
Absolutely. Well, ladies, thank you for such a fantastic episode and being on the show today. For listeners out there, be sure to check out the Savvy Travel Mamas on Instagram. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please like, share, subscribe, do all the things. And for our listeners on YouTube that watch the video as well, one thing to note, don't forget, on Fridays, we have our audio-only quick hits that do come out, and so that does not get pushed out on YouTube, but that's pushed out on all other podcast platforms. So if you're only catching these Wednesday episodes, you're missing out on a whole other episode that drops out only on Fridays. Also, Mara, Joy, thank you so much for being on the show today, and for the listeners, we'll catch you on the next episode. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I, I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick single topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.